thing or someone in our life. It's not possible to feel that we can do it all alone. We are completely empowered. Yes, we are empowered, but not that what we think and visualize. It will be a point in our life when we realize we are not enough for ourselves. And I'm talking about that authority which is full of love, grace, an authority which has access to special kind of energy, limitless, exponential, expansive. That kind of authority, I'm talking about that. That authority does not need any dominance of any kind for anything. The moment there is dominance, there is no authority. Remember, he has lost the authority. She or he or it or being, whoever it is, has lost the authority, because real authority seeks nothing. So, right from our childhood, if you see, when we were small children, we were dependent on our parents. They became the authority. We're talking about facts here. Let's see what consciousness and nature has given to us. What have you to learn from here? What is our experience? Right from child, we are dependent. Someone or the other. We grow up, we get a job. Now we have someone in authority called as our boss again. Right or wrong, I'm not saying that. Flaws or, you know, but the fact is, we need support. There is a part of us that always is seeking support from someone who is on whom we can depend on completely and fully. It is another thing. We may not be able to, sometimes we may get exploited by that, but that is okay. But we do not give up that. We do not give up that hope, because it is intrinsic in us to surrender. It's a part of us. Cannot separate it. For one, I can tell you, you can separate yourself, but you cannot separate the need to surrender. I can tell you this. Now, as we grow more older, we get wife, we get husband, something, we still surrender. There is a dependency, there is a sense of authority. Go more older, old age, doctors. We have to surrender to the wisdom, to the intellect of the doctors, what they tell us. Now you tell me, where is this ego in this whole thing? If you look closely in your life, right from when you are and you're growing up and up, every stage of your life, you always were dependent. You always had an authority and you always will have an authority. No question about that. So I'm talking about that authority, which is not the same as someone dominating over you or you being submissive to somebody. It's not that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an authority, the intelligence, the higher being, whether in human or not in human, with whom your love, your feelings, your life is turned towards that object as a part of devotion. As an aspect of that deep devotion that you feel, which is inseparable from whom you really are. From where you feel completely total by that. It could be a human, or it could be a deity or someone, a god. Now, you see, even at night when you're sleeping, you're surrendering, you do not know when you fall asleep. You're thinking, certain things are going on in your mind. Maybe there are some worries, whatever. But suddenly it just stops and you have disappeared into someone or something. What you call as nothingness. You don't even remember what it is. But someone is holding you there. And then you come out of it again in the morning from that place. You're still surrendering to something. You do not worry about it, that this could be, the sleep could be the last day of my life. It could be, but nobody thinks about it, do you? You already plan for the next day. Awareness already plans, consciousness already plans for it. This is what I'm going to do tomorrow. This is how I'm going to go about in my life. See, this is what I'm saying. This is intrinsic part of us. It's a part of us already there that we love to surrender. We like to acknowledge it, that we are. The more we accept it, the better our life becomes. That there is an authority. Whether it's a human or a being or God or a deity, it doesn't matter. Whoever it is, if you give your heart, your love and your attention and your feeling to it, to that higher being, as I call as a higher being, as a higher intelligence, it begins to support you in all your aspects of your life. Now this is something that is not just my imagination. It is something that I have worked all my life, for 25 years of my life in meditation, doing inwardness, completely being withdrawn from the world, and then coming out of it, and I have realized that inwardness also has a limitation. That inwardness of being completely self-possessed or self-obsessed is a barrier to that. Is also the ego's position, the most subtle form of ego still remains while you are in this state of inwardness, only inwardness. While I'm talking about not just inwardness, I'm talking about surrendering, inward, outward, in every form, in every way. And when you do this, everything changes around you. Many things begin to happen that you never thought of could happen. I am a very important example, my own self. When I was doing Advaita Vedanta, self, being in self, yes, in joy, in peace and everything. And yet I felt there was something. I am getting more and more away from the world. Something is still missing. What was it? I tell you, it was still this position of the ego, a very subtle form of ego that did not know that I am actually thinking, just being, I'm being manipulated by my own ego to believe that that was a self. But when I broke through that and through the grace of surrendering, I call them the deities. Because the deities are the authority of all authority. The authority of all authorities are the deities. You can call them as any names as you want to give them. You can call them as Mother. This is what I call many times Ma. Shiva. Your own Guru. My Guru, for example. All of them are deities. And by bringing my attention, my focus, my love and surrendering to them at their feet, I feel a joy that I did not feel while I was just being self-obsessed. You know what I mean? Self-inwardly obsessed with myself. See, I'm using this very, very specifically. I have said this and very openly have said this. That the self can suck you inside itself. But you can never know whether it is still the ego or not, because you cannot break through it. It is the ego itself that positions itself as a subtle part of the self. And you keep getting sucked into it, thinking this is my power, this is what it is. And it gives you everything, but it will not allow you to surrender to anything else other than yourself. The moment something does not allow you to surrender to anything else other than your own self, you must. That's a red flag, you see, because ego cannot surrender and eliminate itself. It's a fact. How can something eliminate itself? You tell me. How? It needs a higher authority to do it. It happened with Ramakrishna. It happened with every saint that was there. Surrender was an important aspect, and the recognition that there is a higher intelligence at play who is in my life, in our life, as real as anything else, more real than my own self. I say self is still concept, because I cannot know it, I cannot feel it, I go into nothingness and I disappear. But when I surrender and I give my love, everything becomes juicy, everything becomes alive, everything becomes beautiful, and things miraculously happen. I appreciate that. I'm not saying there is no, I'm not saying that there is no nothing in Advaita or in being in the self or being in the I am. Or, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it is not the last step as people think. The last step is where you reach your own self. The ego is facing itself, but the ego cannot kill itself. And you realize it and you keep staying there, you keep staying there, and you waste a whole lot of life just playing with your own ego all the time. That's all. Rather, you should not turn inwards, you must turn towards the object of your worship. Turn towards it. Not turn always inwards. The inward turning is the first point, is the first aspect of your sadhana. But there, as you try and eliminate it, one by one, one by one, one by one, you eliminate your thought, see through your thought, you see through your breath, you see through the void, you see through every aspect of your existence, and at the end of it, you come to this, Dr. Ramana Maharshi said, I thought, which is nothing but the ego. He himself said, I thought is nothing but the ego. And many people think this is liberation. I have come to my own self and think samadhi is liberation. Samadhi is not liberation. Samadhi means you become one with yourself. That's all. The ego still is there. It cannot be eliminated by any effort other than moving now away from inwards and move into the object of your devotion, and allowing that being whom I call as the deities, whom you can bring lot of deities that you feel are important in life. Some people say Krishna is my deity. Very well, go for it. Mother is your deity. Okay, mother is your deity. Guru could be your deity. Fine. Shiva could be your deity. There is no problem about any of them. They've all been given in our life as a part of ourself, as a part of our existence. And I tell you one thing, you call upon them. Now I say them. I do not say him or her. I say according to what you feel in the moment, you call upon it and you receive what you ask. And I'm not talking about materiality here. So don't confuse it and say, but I do not exclude materiality. And I do not exclude relationships. And I do not exclude health. And I do not exclude anything in the world. Everything is a part of one universal God form. Every form that you see is a form of God. And so I do not exclude anything. I do not say, this is truth, that's false. It's not true. Everything as you seek will be, it can be, you can receive it, provided you have that temperament and that kind of love that you have for your deity. I always say, you know, how to surrender? Surrender is not something that is you surrender one time and then you forget about it and then you go and surrender when it's convenient for you. Festival is the biggest example of surrendering according to convenience. And that convenience also is because you get so much to eat there, or you get so much entertainment, or you get so much fun. Is that worship? Is that worship? One day Christmas, once a year, one a time Ganpati Puja, One time Shivratri, Mahashivratri. Is that what you call as really deity worshipping? The result will be that you will get some time, something, and then there will be a gap. Grace will not come this way. Grace means that I am always constantly in communication. I am constantly in devotion, moment to moment, turning towards my object of my worship as much as I possibly can and remember and recognize. That's the meaning. It doesn't need a time. Oh, okay, this is the time for me to now practice devotion, because these are the 7 days that I should be doing it. This is the 3 days that I should be doing it. This is the 1 month of time that I should be. And then other than that, your people just move into other things to do. This is what they made, the mockery of festivals. The onus of maintaining the connection rests with the devotee. It is a bee that goes to the honey. Even the bee goes to the honey every day. If it has a choice, it does not go at a time. Okay, this is the time. After 6 months, after a year, I will go and get it. You see. So if you have to know about surrendering, and when I talk about, I have explored all the ways, whether it is yoga, Advaita Vedanta, and all the things, and I teach all of that, as you know very well. Why I am teaching yoga? Why I am teaching Vedanta? What is the reason? When I can just tell you that surrender is all. The reason is, I do not want you all to just follow my words, what I am saying. I want you to move into it and you see and study whatever you are, which is what yoga tells you. What are the different faculties within you? Deep study is important. I am not saying that that study is going to make you a jnani or will liberate you. No. Maybe you can become an egoistic person. Yoga can do that. Same thing with jnana. You can become extremely egoistic because you have so much knowledge of it. But when you talk about bhakti, you tell me, we all know this by experience. Isn't it? That instantly when you do bhakti, the ego has melted and gone. It dissolved. Does it require anything else? Does it require 1,000 pranayamas to do and become and merge into God? Does it require asking yourself all the time, who am I? Who it is happening to? Where is a self? Who it is? No. Instantly you connect to your deity and instantly there is a response. Because you have turned through your all faculties, your body is turned towards the deity. Your mind is turned towards the deity. All your faculties, your intellect, your senses, everything acknowledges the authority of the deity and you place yourself at him. Not at the mercy, remember, not about mercy. It is you place yourself to him at his feet or at his heart, whatever, or him or her, whatever you feel in the moment. And you will feel a joy that you will not feel anywhere else. Because the ego, I am telling you again, that inwardness of the self is nothing but a form of ego bondage. And we need, this is the last step which I'm telling you today. That's why today's satsang is so important. We need to release ourselves from that ego bondage. That is the last step. Right? But that happens only when you come to know face to face with what that ego is, how it works. And that's where yoga, pranayama, self-inquiry, or all these other modalities, they come into the picture. What if you don't do yoga, don't do Kriya Yoga, don't do Advaita Vedanta? Then what to do? Then this is the most simplest thing. You don't have to know anything about anything. No faculties needs to be known. Nothing needs to be done. You can just surrender. Provided you have that purity and you are able to bring your mind again and again and turn your mind and your body and your entire being toward that object of devotion. And you connect with the vibratory aspect of that being, of that higher intelligence, and I guarantee you, I can tell you, if you do it with purity of your mind and with the intention of the love that you have for yourself, even half of it, even half of what you love yourself, if you can love your God with just half, if you can love your deity with just half of the love that you give to yourself. So we have certain things that we do here. We offer the breath to deity. That is Kriya Yoga. But we don't have to do Kriya Yoga as a system to offer. We can sit in, don't have to sit for 15, 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 minutes. You can sit in the moment, remember who it is, and just as you breathe, you can offer your breath to your deity by feeling the deity, feeling the God, feeling the goddess, feeling Shiva, feeling the guru, whoever you feel, you can feel it and you will feel the joy instantly. Why do people don't feel joy in Kriya Yoga? Because they have made it as a discipline. It is becoming mechanical. So where is bhakti in that? Bhakti means spontaneity. I feel bhakti, I sing for him, I dance for him, I do kriya, I offer my food, I go into restaurants and I tell you my experience. And today I'm being very candid too in my thing. People know, you know, who are with me here. Deviam, Diya Siddhi, Samji, Marcus, you know, Nario, Devika, whoever, Ryan, whoever have come here and stayed with me, they know, Sylvain. They know that I offer food first to the deities, don't we? They know. Not just food, make it a practice to offer whatever you partake, whatever you eat, or whatever you are in your bhoga, you offer to the deity. That's one way of worshipping. You're watching a movie? Okay, you give it to the deity. Say just one sentence. You don't have to keep telling it again and again. Let the deity enjoy the movie. So don't say it again and again, I'm giving it to you, I'm giving it to you. Whatever it is, you just involve them in a moment to moment. You got your salary, you got some money. All right, here it is, deity, I give it to you. You are pocketing it. Everybody knows it. You're going to eat it. You're the one who's, it's your mouth, it's your stomach. But I tell you, a part of it goes to them. It's not my imagination. You try it. That's why I'm saying you may not believe me. But if you do that, your life will change. And that I'm saying in authority, because I've seen it happening in people's life. Whoever have, it's such a simple thing now. You tell me. It's such a simple thing. You enjoy your ice cream. Before you lick the first thing, just require you to just say, I give it to you. Who? You decide. It could be anybody in your mind, but it doesn't have to be yourself. It is somebody whom you feel communicating, communion, having a connection with somebody who's not encased in this body mind, or a self that you feel is inwardness. The inwardness is I'm talking about. Forget about it at that time. Move into the world. It's not about moving inwards. It's about, when I talk about devotion, it's not about inwardness or within. It's about towards. Moving towards something. Yeah, that establishes a connection. The moving towards something. You could be Christ. It could be Rama. It could be Krishna. It could be sister. Yeah, I hope you got the point. So that's one thing. And second thing you have to remember, that your connection to your deity, it could be anyone, all are one. Whether you remember Christ or remember Krishna or remember Jesus or remember anybody, they're all really one, because their vibration frequency, you're connecting to the vibratory aspect. The reason form is important sometimes, because when you're born in a certain orientation, you have a certain natural feeling towards a deity. That's all. So if I'm a Hindu, maybe I feel now for the mother, let's say, Shakti. I feel Shakti more. I feel Durga. I feel Kali. If he's a Christian, he'll feel Jesus. But I'm not saying that Christians won't feel for Kali or India. I do not feel for Christ. No. A stage comes. Our maturity becomes such that we start to transcend even these forms and we connect to these vibrations. It proves that the vibration is one. I do not fight. My gods are not fighting with each other. Krishna is not fighting with Christ. Christ is not fighting with Krishna. They are just the one. But what is important is that whoever I recollect, that archetype has become, I am devoting to that particular being, that particular archetype, and inviting that essence, that message of the deity in me. So if it's suffering, mostly it's Christ, because Christ had an image. He's depicted in such a way that I feel Christ is the one. When I talk about wisdom, I cannot think of anybody else more than Krishna, because he was so wise in every way. When I talk about Shakti or power, I cannot think of anybody other than Durga. You know, so it depends upon what you're connecting. It's not about, so that's what I'm saying. It's the entire deities, whoever you are believing, or who you just have to know about bringing everybody into this aspect of deity. This is deity worshipping. Devotional deity worshipping, and the deities make it the point, as you surrender and become more and more mature, they eliminate or they can deconstruct your ego and release you from that ego bondage as a final goal, as a final goal. But it does not mean, it does not provide you everything else. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha, the four Purusharthas that are given in our life, and that I will tell in the next satsang perhaps, explaining about it. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha, four Purusharthas. Out of it, the Moksha aspect of it is the most important, the liberation. But everything else also is important. It's not that anything less is lesser or something like that. No, because if all the other things, three things are also in balance and integrated, then moksha becomes easy for us. If I have money, I can think about spirituality. I have relationships which are good, I can have think about moksha. You know, my health is fine, I can think about sadhana. If something is suffering, I cannot. Give the responsibility of it to the deities. That's what I'm trying to say. Embrace them, bring them, that higher intelligence, that higher energy, whether in human form or not in human form, doesn't matter. Whether it's a deity in your mind, in your heart, whoever resides in it naturally, and they could change, right? They could change. So I'm not saying they can be always consistent or constant. No, it's okay if they change. You don't have to get, again, constrained into, oh, I need to now, you know, worship only this because that's my God. The vibration is one for everybody. Connect with the vibration. And all of these different personalities that are there, they will dissolve, leaving you with the vibrational field as you get enveloped in them. So, I think I explained about this thing, you know. But let me, words is different thing. Let us do a little meditation on it. Yes? So that maybe you understand it better when you meditate on it. So we will just do a small little meditation, understanding what I have just talked about from inside. So let's just sit quietly for some time. Close your eyes. Now here you are, closing your eyes and sitting. There is consciousness within you. There is consciousness outside you. and you seem to be centered in this body, right? There is this body that is here. Let's first explore the body. This is a center from where we operate. I'm not going to deny the body. No point denying it. Let's completely become one with our body. Be totally one with it. Pay attention to it. Just feel it from the toe to the crown. Just mentally feel your body. Try not to move and just stay. Stay still like a rock. Stay still. We are doing inquiry of our body, of ourselves. Right now it's our body that we are inquiring about. Let's not miss anything, okay? Let's not miss anything. Now you see there is some thoughts where my mind is wandering to something. Okay. Keep your body still. Now move into the thought. Just watch your thought. Don't interfere with it. Don't judge it. Let it come and go. Let it come and go. Don't create anything. Just observe. Now there could be some thoughts that may be agitating you. Some thoughts are just wandering thoughts. But as you watch and watch and you watch and you watch, you become disinterested in them. Because the reality is that they don't have any reality in it. The truth is this, that they come and go. Right? So you just remember this truth, that these thoughts come and they go, come and go, come and go within this body or outside the body. It's just hovering around. It's the traffic that's passing. And then you will see that it is becoming less and less dominating on you. It is not able to influence you so much. You're not interested in them. So what is the next thing that interests you? After that, within you. Perhaps it is your breath. Okay, so let's look at the breath. You know you're inhaling the breath. You exhale the breath. Don't try to change it. Let it naturally flow. Just observe it. Feel your breath fully, just like the way you felt your body. Just watch, fully embrace your breath. So the body is becoming light. Thoughts are losing their grip over you. Not that heavy anymore. And the breath too is becoming calmer. silent. What lies a little bit prior to this breath now? Anything else that we are, that lies even before this breath? We are doing inquiry now. What is it? From where is this breath coming and going? This breath seems to emerge from something and become dissolving into something. It comes and dissolves, comes and dissolves. This thought came, dissolved, comes, dissolved. Something is there that from where it arises, and something is there in which both of them dissolve. What is that? You can say, I do not know. It is just this feeling of nothingness. The void. I can't make out from where it is. There is no reason to make out. Nothing needed. Just this knowledge is enough. This recognition is enough. It is this space. From where this breath, this body, thoughts, prana are coming and going, this space. Can you feel the space? This space. Immediately you can feel the space inside of you. Has a deep feeling. It's empty yet totally full. It's both. It's not emptiness. It is also full of something. Could be it's full of silence. It's full of love. It's full of something, yet it's empty. It's empty of thought. It's empty of agitation. It's empty of the concepts that you have understood in your life, the concepts that you have acquired in this life. It's empty of them, but yet it is full of silence, full of beauty, full of peace, full of stillness. Just move into it, relax into that space that you are. Enjoy it, embrace it. How much joy and how much peace you will feel will depend upon how less agitated your mind, how less thoughts intrude on that space. So maybe you require a little practice, but in this moment as I see and I feel, you can just move into that space directly. And you can ignore the body. You can ignore the thought. You can even ignore the life force. You can ignore the breath and just stay in this background spaciousness, the background self, the one prior to everything. Prior to arising of anything and prior to everything dissolving, that entity, that being is the self. Now, what lies beyond this? What lies beyond this space? I can tell you, no one can tell that. and you cannot know that. Because here, the ego has come in face to face with ego itself. It cannot go through this. It cannot be eliminated. This is what I call the final step of ego possession, where the ego has possessed itself. And you cannot go through this, no matter how much effort you are going to put, there's no way you can go beyond it or prior to this spaciousness that you think, this consciousness, this awareness, which is completely whole, total. But I tell you, even this is false. This even is not you. And you cannot go through this through any effort, but only through recognition of the higher intelligence, higher being, which you cannot know by turning more within, but which you can only know by going outside or going towards the being, the deity, or that higher intelligent power energy. I want you at this moment to just acknowledge the presence of the deity, worshipping from your heart, that beyond this, I am incapable of knowing anything more than this. I cannot know. I have reached my limitation. Advaita, Vedanta, everything, yoga teaches you only about your own limitation. When your limitation arises, they are no more useful to you. Only bhakti, devotion, and grace alone can see you through it. You can conquer your breath. You can eliminate thought. You can eliminate void and anything, prana. You can see through all these faculties, because these faculties are only helping the ego. They're all helping the ego, and you can slowly, slowly eliminate them one by one. They all can be teased out from the ego. But when you come to the self, the I, that cannot be eliminated by you. Remember this. No ways. No matter how much you meditate, how much more you can go inside, you'll only come to this wall, the wall of the self, the I. Yes, you will feel peace, you'll feel joy, happiness will come, and you can be in that steady happiness background self, but still it is ego. It is a most subtle form of ego. Most subtle. And when the ego comes face to face with itself, usually we try to go more deeper to go and find that background beyond it, and we can never get there unless and until we do not acknowledge, we do not appreciate, and we do not devote ourselves to the higher deity, to the higher intelligence, who alone can help us move beyond that stage. For that we need to communicate, for that we need to communion, for that we need to have the responsibility lies on us to keep appreciating movement, turning the body towards, turning the mind towards, turning the prana towards, turning your desires towards, turning all the bhog towards the object of your devotion, towards the object, the deities, towards them. This is the fact. I will make your journey as short as possible. But if you keep moving into the inner circle and inwardness and remain there, you will find yourself excluding everything in your life, exclusively sitting alone in that. Because inside there is an abyss inside of you that you will never be able to break through, no matter how much you will put. It's like breaking your head against, it's hitting your head against the wall. The wall will not break. Your head will definitely break. I'm telling you. There is no other way. You can do as much Kriya Yoga, as much Vedanta, and it's good. I encourage you, because this, what I just did, a meditation, is the inquiry form of meditation. See, I just showed you everything about inquiry. Just now, in front of you. And few of you got the experience of what I was trying to tell you. In this moment itself, you got the experience, and you also came to know the limitation of Advaita, of self-inquiry. And the possible potential danger that can lie by being inward, because you can get sucked into that inwardness and forget about devotion. And you can forget about the object of your devotion, which is a mistake, which will cost you time and energy going ahead. I do not mince words in my life, because I am interested in your progress. I'm only interested in your best. And I have seen it over and over again, how that self can draw you more and more inward, more and more, excluding everything else from your life. You become a recluse. And this recluse is what is admired by the world somehow in spirituality, which I denounce. Because that's not the way of Ramakrishna. That was not the way of Yogananda. That was not the way of so many beautiful saints we had in our life. Their examples are not of recluse. They spend some time in it. The rest of the time they spend in devotion, their devotion in contributing in their life in a meaningful manner for the mankind and for those people to rise up in their consciousness. That is why I'm saying to all of you. It's from my heart, this satsang. And I really hope, you know, all of you understand the part of devotion vis-a-vis the path of yoga, which I'm not denouncing, by the way. I hope you understand. I'm not saying no, because I myself recommend in our protocol that we need to do this pranayama so that we better understand our faculties. If the whole idea of yoga is integrating everything together. Yoga means I am now focusing myself, concentration, and being completely focused on it so that I can bring all the energies that are dissipated in all the places to one center. That is called yoga. That's why it's called union, where I am able to unify with myself, my soul. Whereas Advaita Vedanta means exclusively attention, paying attention to what the self is at the expense of niti niti. Not this, not this, not this, not that. Every other faculty is dropped in that. Once you do these two things, you come to know through the ISIP way or any way you do. ISIP, I have formulated certain meditations. Those are enough for you to get those complete knowledge of where the faculties are, how the prana works, how the mind works, how the breath is relaxed. All of that, the inquiry can be done beautifully by following the protocol. Once the protocol is followed and you understand, then when you come to this self in a relatively very small period of time, at a very little period of time, you come to this self and you rest into the self. Now you need to move into devotion. Do not get tempted to move inward and inward and inward into it, because that is a trap laid by the ego itself, in the form of the ego. So do not get trapped into this. You'll find yourself completely becoming recluse, exclusively paying attention to your own self. There will be ego obsession. There will be self obsession, which is nothing but the ego obsession. And the self possession, which is nothing but the ego possession. And you will see everything from that position itself, from the way of ego itself. I'm just letting you all know, on record, This is what the ISIP is. And in your period of time, it's not that only you should do devotion and the deity worshipping only when you go and have control over all your faculties and your breath and everything, and you only reach to the self, and then you should start. Not that way. That's why we give the mantras. That's why we talk about deity worshipping right at the first and the very beginning, so that your heart and your mind is matured enough to understand and recognize this is what I have to finally go into and be with for a very happy life, a very happy afterlife too. See, that's what I was trying to tell today. And with this meditation, I was just trying to reinforce what my thinking was by going through the spontaneous meditation, as I said. So, I don't know if I want to take a question, but I can take one or two questions if somebody has at this moment. If there is some doubt somebody has about anything, I can take one or two questions. I know some of you don't like this because you are in that space and in that joy and enjoying this, and nothing wants to be disturbing that joy and feeling. But I am what I am, so I guess I'll take a few questions. Yeah. Whatever you all feel. I feel someone has a question somewhere, which is important maybe. I don't know. Or is it just my imagination? So raise your hand if somebody has any question, because I cannot see. There are two windows here, and because we are more today. So if there's any question anybody has, then I can take it. Anything. Anything from your heart. Anything. Don't worry. No judgments about anything. Or a sharing. It could be a sharing. It could be a question. Anybody? Okay. I guess nobody. I love it. Fantastic. So we'll just sit for another 3 minutes then, quietly. What I want you all, in your own simple language, in your own simple, communicate to your beloved God, deity, inform your heart, let it reach to the deity. Just a simple message across. Don't give your problem right now, though it is not excluding. You can give all your problem to them. Everything can be said. Everything can be spoken about, communicated, and everything can be, you know, the connection can be in any way. So you can just feel it. Don't judge your connection to it. Just talk to inwardly for 3 minutes, 3 or 5 minutes. Just go for it. Forget about yourself. Just tell them how much you love them. Acknowledge their presence. His, her, there. Move your entire heart, all your faculties, turn them all towards the object of your love, your devotion. Your attention, your feelings. promise him, her, or them that you will not allow the world to disrupt your devotion, that you would maintain the connection. And you see, you get the response. I can see it on the faces. The response. Where is the self here? Even the self has surrendered itself in the light of that. Miracles happen, trust me. Miracles happen not only in your belief in yourself. They never happen only because of that. Miracles originate from somewhere. I want you to find that. Yeah. Yes. I love you all. Thank you for being here for satsang. And I'll see you in another 15 days. Thank you for being patient with me. I know I do all the talking. But I feel I communicate with each one of you in their own way. And I appreciate every bit of it. I do not say it maybe, but I really appreciate, I really honor it, and I celebrate it the way that you are all, each for you in their own way for me. Maybe, but I feel it. Just want you all to know this. Thank you very much. Love you. May Ma always be with you. May the deities always be with you. Shivom. Shivom, Shivom, Shivom. Jai Guru, Jai Gurudev.